right, glad you're with us. Just 84 days, and you are the ultimate jury. And, wow, we got a lot of news that we're going to get to today. The pick apparently is in. Biden VP announcement imminent is the headline right now on the Drudge Report. We'll be monitoring very closely throughout the day. Let me say a few things about whoever it might be. Historically, VP choices don't really impact elections. Let me be very blunt about that first. You know, the real issue is, quote, do no harm. I find it amazing that groups are, you know, all these varying factions within the Democratic Party are just, you know, this pressure all over the place. Who is it going to be? It has to be a woman. It has to be an African-American woman, all of these things. So we'll find out. I guess that announcement is coming, you know, at some point. If it happens during the show, that's fine. Want to give a programming note. This is probably the greatest career risk in my life, but at 6:30 tonight, and we'll have a lot to talk about, by the way, if in fact Biden makes a selection. At 6:30 tonight, we're doing a virtual 2020 town hall, and Linda will be the questioner. And if I had anxiety over Bill O'Reilly's non-cupcake interview, boy, this is a risk. Now you're going to be interrupting me as you do on the radio. I'm just checking.
So I let you say all that and didn't talk over you.
No, that's an amazing accomplishment. I'm shocked, probably because
this from the master of interruption, like I'm going to do to you right now. First of all, you are the master interrupter. So
first of all, yeah. All right. So we're going to hear. You're going to get to see. First of all, by the way, the last time you stepped in when David Limbaugh was interviewing me,
I Zoom bombed you.
You Zoom bombed us, and little Liam, your now 5-year-old son.
It was bedtime.
It was right. Well, it was. Yeah, I think that was a late one. Yeah, it was after.
It was 7:45 for him. You know, he goes up around 8:30.
And then I'm trying to bribe the kid into saying hi to everybody. He waved, but I couldn't get him to say the words.
That's a technicality. You know, you didn't specify. You know, we're a very literal family.
All right, so I'll buy him a train. Whatever he wants. He can have anything he wants already. Just like, you know, we haven't talked to our friend Velma throughout this presidential race. I consider her two children my adopted nephews, and they're great kids, and she hates that I spoil them, but I don't mind at all. And I'm now even spoiling her by sending her to the Wynn Hotel for her spa treatment every birthday of hers. But anyway, so this is like what's happening. Putting aside the whole issue of using identity politics as a means of picking a VP candidate, I don't really care who he picks. Here's what won't change, regardless of who this may end up being. What won't change is this is now, of any major political party, their stated agenda, the most radical of any major party agenda in the history of this country. You know, Bernie Sanders was once considered an outlier, a radical, one to be tolerated so that he would coalition with the Democratic Party, being a Democratic Socialist. If the stated policies of Biden are implemented, well, we now know that he's plagiarized Bolshevik Bernie's economic plan. That's radical extreme socialism. We've never had a candidate absorb that. Remember, it wasn't long ago. Biden, Obama, Hillary, they were all for building a wall in the second term of Obama. They've all fully supported that. All of them were against, for example, slave reparations. All of them. You look at other controversial issues. They were not talking socialism. They were, you know, Democrats hide it. But this is a new day. They have swung hard left. Bolshevik Bernie is now the economic czar. The new Green Deal czar. Again, weakness of Biden catering and promising trillions to AOC. And the new Green Deal, trillions of taxpayer dollars, trillions of them. By the way, the Seattle police chief, Carmen Best, has now resigned. We have Horace Lorenzo Anderson Sr. is going to join us. And he lost his 19-year-old son, Horace Lorenzo Anderson Jr. in the Summer of Love Chop Chaz Autonomous Zone. And now the Seattle police chief had to leave. Well, Biden is helping... and supporting that radical movement, because he even said that the police become the enemy. They become the enemy. They become the enemy. Wow. Pretty spectacular comments on his part, followed up by, well, are you willing to reallocate the funds? Sure, I'll redistribute funds elsewhere, meaning away from the police. Well, that's why Seattle Police Chief Carmen Best, by the way, one of the few sane voices to actually emerge from the liberal lunacy. You know, we now have Portland Day 74 of nonstop anarchists, but they blame Trump. Trump's offering to help clean up the mess and restore law and order. They just keep refusing. Anyway, so she was the one that about a week ago said that if you own a business and you're a resident, I'm not going to be able to help you. My police officers have been put in a position that they cannot use the techniques they've been trained in to get rid of or to disperse crowds or rioters. So I can't, in good conscience, put them in harm's way with no tools available to them. I mean, we know how to dispense rioters. It usually takes pepper spray. It usually takes tear gas. Not pleasant. Not ideal. Nobody dies. Rubber bullets, non-lethal. There are other options, hopefully, that will come on the market soon. I know I've told you about some of the ones that I now support and that I have actually purchased myself. Anyway, can you really blame her? She's now stepping down. I don't blame her. And by the way, if I was in a city or a state and I was looking for a police chief or a top lieutenant or whatever the job happens to be that's open, I'd be all over trying to recruit her. I mean, she is an amazing professional. This was her life and her career dedicated to protecting and serving her community. And they won't let her do her job. And she did this as now the city council has approved reducing the department by 100 officers. And she, by the way, happens to be the first African-American police chief in the city of Seattle. She sent out a letter. It's now public. And she's retiring effective September the 2nd. The dopey mayor that said it's the summer of love zone, Jenny Durkin, just like Wheeler in Portland and just like Lightweight and Lightfoot in Chicago and Comrade de Blasio in New York. I mean, what they've, you know, the fact that they're letting the anarchists run wild. Well, that's Joe Biden's America. You know, no point that I ever hear Joe Biden step out and say the 99% of officers that protect and serve, they need our support. Now, he's tried to walk back his initial comments. And I know that Jill Biden does more interviews now than Joe Biden. Be interesting when they do finally make a VP announcement. Is it going to be one of their disastrous basement bunker podcasts? So we'll see how that works out. But anyway, council members, just like Minneapolis, just like New York, just like all these other places, now they're defunding the police and they're talking about, well, send in social workers. Social workers? I mean, you have mob blocking NYPD cops. An 11-year-old girl was stabbed, punched, kicked, and shot with a stun gun by a group of five other girls after some basketball game in New York City on East 125th Street near Madison Avenue. During the four-minute beatdown, cops, you know, allegedly sat idly by nearby cruisers. They didn't get out until the girl was bloodied and bruised. NYPD spokesman claimed, however, that the account offered by a photographer was inaccurate, that the police were met by a large crowd while attempting to come to this person's assistance. They were outnumbered. Projectiles were thrown at them, and they were forced to reposition and call every available resource in the area. Video shows the NYPD met with a large crowd that hurled projectiles at them. What are they supposed to do at that point? You know, you have... this was on FoxNews.com. Black Lives Matter organizers saying looting is only a down payment on reparations.
I don't care if somebody decides to loot a Gucci or a Macy's or a Nike, because that makes sure that that person eats. That makes sure that that person has clothes. That's reparations. That is reparations. Anything they want to take, take it, because these businesses have insurance. They're going to get their money back. My people aren't getting anything.
Okay. Protesters have now surrounded another Chicago police precinct and station, demanding the looters be released. Pretty sad and unbelievable. You know, the so-called shooting victim that spurred Chicago's looting rampage? Oh, that person, according to the New York Post, has been charged with attempted murder. You know, why let facts get in the way of a good narrative? Well, this is now the party of lawlessness. And this is, you know, New York, Chicago, Portland, Seattle, Los Angeles, San Francisco. That's what I call a preview of coming attractions to America. That's Joe Biden's America. Now, it's fascinating to watch what's happening. I'll look at USA Today. More than 100 African-American male leaders, including preachers and rappers and celebrities, signing an open letter. This is yesterday, calling on Biden to pick up an African-American woman as his running mate, saying if he does not, he will lose the election. And as someone who has said throughout his campaign, VP Biden needs to choose a black woman as VP, the urgency for that pick has gone from something that should happen to something that has to happen. In this open letter published the week that, you know, now we're here and it might be imminent that Biden is going to make his selection, signed by more than 700 in solidarity with a letter signed in April, 700 African-American women that are leaders and pastors and doctors and lawyers and celebrities. You got, you know, P. Diddy or Sean Diddy. I don't know if he changes his name. Charlemagne the God, Van Jones, and so many others. In the letter, they criticized the vetting process for African-American women being considered, like Kamala Harris and so on and so forth. Then on the other hand, Politico has an article out about the anticipation about all of this after the news broke over the weekend that Governor Whitmer, who is not African-American, had flown to meet with Biden to discuss the vice presidency. Frustration and disappointment boiled over among African-American female Democrats, including some in her own state. Quote, he better pick a black woman. If he picks Gretchen, he'll lose Michigan, said Virgie Rollins. I've never heard of her. Chairman of the Democratic National Committee Black Caucus, who hosted Biden at her home before the Michigan primary this spring. Quote, there are a lot of black people mad at Whitmer in this state, says to Politico, citing a record on Flint's, you know, lead water crisis, whatever the, remember that would have gone on for a long time. So a lot of pressure coming from everywhere. But I will tell you this, all I know is that the agenda is not going to change. And that is radical leftist statist socialism. And that will result predictably in unfulfilled, broken promises, just like Obamacare, just like liberal cities can't keep safety and security, just like the educational system in these big cities run by liberal Democrats. It ain't working. So that'll be the same predictable outcome. All right, reports that Joe Biden has apparently made a choice about VP. I guess they're trying to build anticipation of all of this. And so you have left-wing Democrats angry Biden is even considering the likes of Governor Whitmer. Linda, I haven't seen any reports yet. Usually there's like a watch, and the watch is that, you know, who got on a private plane to go here, there, or anywhere. You know, and there's also a lot of head faking that they try to go around. They don't want people to figure it out, which is smart. I don't have any problem with that. It's just typical politics. Here's the question. Is anybody going... This is what I've now concluded. There's no rules anymore in politics. The mob and the media is so corrupt. They are willing to lie in any way they can. How do we know? Did any of them ever care about Hillary's obstruction with subpoenaed emails, bleach pit, hammers? No. Did they care about her bought and paid for Russian dirty dossier? No, they didn't care. Even the New York Times finally says, yeah, likely Russian disinformation from the get-go. Did they care at all? Did they care that that dirty, unverifiable, now debunked dossier was used as a FISA warrant? No, they didn't care. Did they care that Comey lied and said it was verified in October? By December, tells Trump it's salacious and unverified. Well, on the application, the FISA application he signed in October, he said just the opposite. He's a liar. Now we know the subsource, in other words, the source of Steele's dossier, that the FBI knew in January of 2017, that subsource said, none of this is true. This was bar talk. And they allowed this country to be dragged through the mud. And not one Democrat that I know of, not a single one, was willing to speak out and say, this can't happen in this country that we use bought and paid for political lies to spy on a presidential candidate, his transition team, and then a president that's elected duly by the people. They never cared. And the mob carried the water for this entire coup attempt by the mob and the media. There's not an ounce or a shred of honesty or trust that I have in any of these people. They'll say, obviously, anything, do anything to achieve power. They'll promise everything. They'll fulfill nothing. And what you'll gain is a loss of freedoms. That's the end result. All right, 25 to the top of the hour. Don't forget our virtual 2020 town hall, half hour immediately following this program on Hannity.com. One note that if you're going to join us, and it's free, and by the way, anybody can come, no purchase necessary, although, I love the fact that Live Free or Die is you launched us now number one 2 weeks in a row on all across the country. And but obviously, a lot's going to come up. Linda will be doing the questioning. I think we're also going to take questions, but we're going to do it for just 1 hour straight up. And all you have to do is go to Hannity.com at 6:30. If you go early, you won't be able to click. 6:30.
Yeah, just to be super, super clear, boss, not that you're
can
not
we make
wonderful.
It 6:25 so people can get on
no,
a little
No, I'm not
early.
Making it 6:25. We said 6:30. 6:30 is the time. You start changing the time, thing gets weird. People don't show up one time. It's like
all
dinner.
Right,
you got to give
the
time.
Right.
That's it.
So the news is, and this is a career risk letting you interview me.
This
but
is
anyway,
not a career risk, first of all. This should be a highlight. You should be excited. Someone's going to ask you some tough questions.
No, I do enjoy. I never thought, and I'm going to do this throughout the campaign. Maybe we'll pick a day, every day, once a week, and we're going to do these because the great thing is you actually get to click on it. You get to, I get to read your questions. We're going to do a special Ask Sean 2020 presidential town hall later this week. But the headline on Drudge now is the pick is in. Biden VP announcement is imminent. It's not going to change Biden's views of radicalism that he's now adopted. His stated policies are what they are. And whoever it happens to be, Kamala Harris, Susan Rice, seem to have the fast track on this. Okay, they're just going to go along with whatever the Biden policy is. And by the way, they'll get the full vetting process that every Republican gets. And we will be vetting them and we'll do the job that the mob and the media won't do. I found it amazing reading all over the place. Did you see this? Well, we're going to make sure there's no sexism in the coverage now that he announced that it's going to be a woman. No, we're going to look like we would anybody. And that is, what about the person's record? Susan Rice, to me, would be interesting because of the deep connection to the Obamas. Kamala Harris, there's a lot of issues on both of them here. And a lot of questions they're going to have to answer for. And so all I can say is stay tuned because this show will, as usual, and a few other shows, this isn't a competition thing. There are others of us. But the list of people that are on the list of, that bypass the media mob, there's not many of us. You have talk radio. You have a few of us on Fox, not everybody on Fox. Yeah, a few of us on Fox that are, that are openly conservative. Wow, imagine that. And people, whine and complain and moan and groan. Oh, there are conservative voices on Fox. Yeah, no kidding. We're not supposed to ever be heard? Ever? So anyway, we'll have all of that. And I hope you can join us. It's actually, I never thought it would be so easy and also so fun. Which also raises this question. How is it that Joe Biden has struggled mightily to get his stupid podcast up? And, we've had a million people join us at once on these virtual events that we do. And they're really cool. They're a lot of fun. I've enjoyed doing them. I'm actually going to continue to do them at least once a week.
You're going to hear there's a pond on the other side of my property here, a lot of Canadian geese. If you hear them honking away, they're cheering. That's what they're about. The scale of the loss is staggering. I don't know whose phone that is, but the scale of the loss is staggering. It's been 2 months since Congress gave them that money. Is it incompetence? Corruption? Trump was out there tweeting again this morning. I call him President Tweety. Reopen the country. End of quote.
The scary thing is...
Wait, let me tell you something. I have to leave for a little bit because I got to go out and get some Canadian geese for our live...
for our
Facebook Live tonight, just so you know.
The Canadian geese, the last time that you were on was Liam. I mean, he just...
That wasn't until the end. And Liam's way cuter than those geese.
Linda has a beautiful five-year-old little boy, walks into the middle of the town hall, which, by the way, was supposed to be run by David Limbaugh and was, and he did an amazing job.
He did. He's awesome.
Until you just, what do you call it?
I zoom-bombed you.
Zoom bomb, like a photo bomb. Okay.
Exactly.
I was
practicing for this week. That's all.
Anyway, so you're going to interview me today, but we're going to talk a lot about the 2020 election, what's at stake. And
I think interview, I would use that word like loosely, you know.
Well, you'll ask questions and keep it moving. I'm not exactly the hardest person to interview. It's funny.
You're kidding, right? Is that a joke?
Contacted me. Oh, I think I'm the easiest person in the world.
Oh, my God. You are the hardest person to interview because you can't turn over the reins.
Well, I mean.
Oh, I know you talk.
Okay. You put me on. You ask me a question. I give you a very long, thoughtful answer.
A very long answer, yes.
Well, okay, I'm sorry. You want me to speak in sound bites and be as shallow as most politicians?
Just let the Canadian geese have a few moments to get their voices heard, that's all.
Okay, I don't have Canadian geese on my property and a pond somewhere on my property either. I just don't happen to have that. Which, you know, not that I'd want the noise.
Dude, it's hysterical. I never
listen, I do live far enough out. I will say this. There are deer. That I have on my property.
No
at times.
One needs 10 bullets to kill a deer.
Yeah, well, nobody needs 10 bullets. One day I'm out there and I'm looking at the deer and I'm thinking, you know, I could get a freezer full of venison.
It's simple.
And then I'm thinking,
no one hunts with an assault rifle. No one needs 10 bullets
deer.
To kill a deer.
A deer. We're New Yorkers, and we're prepared, and we're not like these other countries, then we're going to get it done. Yeah, they got nothing done. New York is, they're doomed. New York is going to be, and I say this affectionately, a shift show like no other. It is going to be an unmitigated disaster because people are leaving, and they're leaving in droves, and I don't blame them. These moving companies are like, we've never been busier. You know, one of the biggest parts of our business is people are so out of here, they don't even want to come back while the move is going on. So they contract us to pack everything up and bring it wherever they want people to bring it. And they're emptying apartments left and right. I don't know what, at least the short term, the property values in New York are going to plummet. New York City, on outlying areas, they're actually going through the roof, which doesn't surprise me either. And can you blame people for, you know, wanting to, you know, get the hell out of there?
I literally talk to people all day long who are now in the Hamptons house.
Yeah.
Who also lived here.
Correct.
Or in their Hudson Valley house. Or in their Connecticut weekend house. And I say, you got to come back. When are you coming back?
No, they don't.
We'll go to dinner. I'll buy you a drink. Come over. I'll cook. They're not coming back right now.
Come over, buy you a drink, or cook. Let me just tell everybody, if he's going to cook and buy you a drink, that will be the single most expensive drink you've ever paid for in your life, and it'll be the most expensive dinner you've ever paid for in your life, because if you pay New York City taxes, tax the rich, then the rich leave, then you have nobody left to tax. And that's why, you have this idiot mayor saying, no, this is a different city now. This doesn't cater to the rich that want their schools open. I'm like, oh, okay. Anyway, according to my friends on Twitter, and I have people monitor it to me because I don't have access to an account on Twitter because it's been taken away from me for years now. Just like I don't have the ability to get on everything. I have nothing to no access to anything. Facebook, I don't know how to get on them by myself. I don't know how to get on Instagram by myself. They have literally, I don't even have the passwords to get on. I don't have an email account anymore. You know, and people think I'm a snob, but the only thing I would say is if Robert Mueller's thugs end up asking 45 pages worth of questions about you, meaning me, and then a judge doesn't respect my constitutional rights and my right to privacy, thought liberals cared about that, and my civil liberties and releases my private text messages, oh, what was it, 1,300, 1,400 of them with Paul Manafort? Yeah, all made public. You know what the best part of that was? So fake news, CNN, oh, Hannity News. Ah, look at all these text messages released. MSDNC, oh my gosh, let's go, let's cover this Hannity text messages. Let's see how he really thinks. And then the coverage turns into, oh my God, he actually believes this. Beep. I couldn't believe it. It sounds like his opening monologues. I mean, what does that say about them? Do they think that I'm a phony like they are? Because I'm not willing to lie like they do. I didn't get wrong the biggest abuse of power corruption scandal like they did. Anyway, the only thing I'll say is we will vet if it's Susan Rice, if it's Kamala Harris, whoever it happens to be. We'll do the job they won't do. You know, I'll give you another example of this. This was BizPak Review. Mob is so afraid Biden is going to blow his chance to defeat Donald Trump, they're even covering up his own expose of you know, the blatant lies that he's told on the campaign trail during his previous presidential run. How many of you know that he has this history of plagiarism? When he plagiarized the speech at Neil Kinnock, we played it here on this show, we played it on TV, or Robert Kennedy. You got the video montage, actually. James Woods, the actor, apparently featured Biden bragging that he was tops in his law school class, followed by clips of subsequent media reports debunking those claims. Remember, he said, I've been endorsed by the NAACP. That wasn't true either. I went out, I was marching with the civil rights leaders. No, you were praising the guy that filibustered the Civil Rights Act of 64 and Voting Rights Act later, 65. And then you partnered with the former Klansmen based on your views on segregation, integration in schools, that you didn't want your kids, you know, going to school in a racial jungle. That's what he said. Anyway, you can hear him variously claiming during what appears to be a press conference that he attended law school, quote, on a full academic scholarship. He was the only one in his law school to have a full ride, wound up in the top half of his class. Quote, I was the outstanding student in a political science department at the end of my year. He continued, I graduated with 3 degrees in undergraduate school and 165 credits. You only needed 123. Subsequent news reports noted that he had to admit that none of those claims were correct. Biden was never named an outstanding student in anything in his political science course. He didn't earn 3 degrees, and that he attended law school on a half scholarship. And what's more, the future vice president graduated near the bottom of his class with 1 degree, not threes, ranking 76 in a class of 85 at the University of Syracuse Law School. I mean, he's just a liar. The media mob is enabling all of these lies. And that is the biggest challenge I think the president now faces in this race. You have media now bought and paid for 24/7. They obviously will say and do anything to protect Biden and attack Trump. They were willing accomplices in the biggest lie, conspiracy theory, hoax, attempted coup in history. They were the enablers. They were the people aiding and abetting these lies. And they do it every second of every day. And then they say, well, Trump's a liar. Well, Trump kept his campaign promises. Anyway, so we see Susan Rice donated heavily to a Biden-allied group. Over half of likely voters don't believe Biden will finish his first term, according to a poll that came out, Rasmussen reports. And if he decides to skip, you know, the debates, I think it's game over. The country won't tolerate that. And we have to demand that, in fact, how about we see a debate before 16 states start voting early? How about we get an answer to what happened in 2016 before we have a 2020 race? Squad members, you know, literally, they're pretty much out there saying, yeah, he'll do whatever we say. They're bragging about it. It's sad. We're going to watch all of this. He's now spoken to his top choices. Apparently, he's made up his mind. 59% think Biden unlikely to finish a four-year term. Wow. Does he have the mental alertness, acuity to be president, the physical strength and stamina? I don't think so. That's not what I see. Karen Bass spoke at socialist forums. Harris, you know, favored. People, they're saying Rice or Harris seem to be the two leaders in this. All right, we'll find out. By the way, I already have my prep. I could be telling it to you right now, but I'm not gonna. Anyway, the campaign is hinting. The next hour, we're going to have Horace Lorenzo Anderson Sr. He lost his 19-year-old son. So sad. Stayed in touch with Andre Taylor. They're going to join us. The lawyer's going to join us.
Sean's new book, Live Free or Die, is now available. Feel free to grab your copy. In stores and online everywhere. Live Free or Die.
All right, Live Free or Die, America and the World on the Brink. By the way, we're doing a town hall, and the good news, it'll be 6:30 Eastern. It's a little over, little less than 2.5 hours from right now, and 3:30 on the West Coast. All you have to do is go to Hannity.com. Now in bookstores, finally, everywhere, except if your town is closed. And more importantly, online, Amazon.com has a 40% discount. Hannity.com, bookstores everywhere. Hope you'll join us. By the way, it's totally free. Everybody's invited. Love to have you. These virtual events are fun. Linda's going to do the questioning tonight. She's promising her own little unique style of questioning, and we'll do it for an hour, 6:30 to 7:30 Eastern time. And well, then I got a show to prepare for, so I'm going to have to be a little tight on time. But we'd love to have you for the hour. Click in, join us. It's simple. You just go to Hannity.com. You'll click on the Join Here button, and you're in. You can do it on your phone. You can do it on your computer. You can do it on your device, iPad, Mac, whatever, wherever you happen to be. And we'd love to have you. And there's no cost whatsoever. Don't have to buy anything. Just come hang out with us. That's basically it as we do a 2020 town hall. As I mentioned earlier today, the Seattle police chief, Carmen Best, one of the sane voices to emerge from this lunacy that we've been seeing, you know, now what, they're in day 73 of rioting and anarchists taking over Portland, just like the Chop Chaz Autonomous Spaghetti Potluck Dinner Summer of Love Zone. Can you really blame her? She's stepping down the same day the city council approved reducing her department, the police department, by 100 police officers through layoffs and attrition. And she is the city's first African-American police chief. She said in a letter to the department that has now been made public that her retirement will be effective September the 2nd. You have that idiot mayor out there, just like the idiot mayor Wheeler in Portland, like the idiot mayor in New York, de Blasio, and lightweight in Chicago. You know, the Democrat has now already made the appointment of an interim chief. Why anybody would ever want that job is beyond any comprehension I have. And she rightly had said last week to residents and business owners, I can't help you if there's another riot. Now, the mayor out there was telling us it's the Summer of Love Zone. Remember, this is what they were saying.
How long do you think Seattle and those few blocks looks like this?
I don't know. We could have the Summer of Love.
Well, tell that to the police, who was supposed to be in that precinct, though. But I understand your sentiment, Mayor.
We don't have to sacrifice public safety for First Amendment rights. Both can exist, and we'll make sure that both exist in Seattle.
We don't have to sacrifice. Well, excuse me, you allowed anarchists to take over entire city blocks and a police precinct. And your Summer of Love Zone resulted in the death of individuals, including Horace Lorenzo Anderson Jr. His father will join us in a second. He lost his 19-year-old son in your Summer of Love Zone. And you said, oh, well, we don't have to sacrifice First Amendment rights. Well, you didn't have to sacrifice city blocks and a police precinct either. And your lack of law and order resulted in the night that this young man lost his life. And he will never see his father, and his father and family will never see him again. Had this very emotional interview on Hannity on the television program. And, you know, remember, this was the night, by the way, when Horace Lorenzo Anderson Jr. was shot The police and emergency medical responders, they had to beg the anarchist to go in and offer medical help. And when you're shot or you're having a heart attack, guess what? Seconds can make all the difference between life and death. Remember this.
Please move out of the way so we can get to the victim.
Oh, we have to beg. Anyway, joining us now is Horace Lorenzo Anderson Sr. He lost his 19-year-old son that night. Andre Taylor, a friend of the family, and he's been a very strong advocate for safety and security all across the country in neighborhoods that are not safe and secure. Horace's new attorney is with us, Evan Ocean. And anyway, welcome all of you to the program.
Appreciate you.
Thank you.
For having us.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, Horace, you know, I did this interview with you on Hannity. It wasn't supposed to be as long as it was. We actually blew brakes and because we couldn't stop what was happening and unfolding. And as the father of a 21-year-old son and an 18-year-old daughter, all I saw and felt for you was pain. In 33 years of radio, and now my 25th year at Fox, probably the hardest interview I've ever done, and I've interviewed presidents and prime ministers and heads of state. Yours was the hardest. How are you doing?
One day at a time. It's just been a rough, you know, it's just rough, you know. It's just one day at a time, one day at a time.
No, any parent understands, Horace, and you have four other kids. How are they doing?
I'm about to seek counseling for the whole family. Everybody's, like, kind of, like, shedding their own, like, circle, where, you know, you can kind of talk to them, but they don't really, everybody's not really expressing themselves, but I know there's something's going on. I try to take them to California. They love it when we're down there. When we come back home, it's like we're in the same household. Everybody's missing them, you know, so it's kind of hard, you know, just to see your kids go through that, you know.
Well, it's hard to see any family member, you know. I go back, and I think I was the only show on television. As a matter of fact, I'm 99.9% confident. And this goes back to when Biden was vice president. Chicago, Obama's own hometown, they barely mentioned the violence in Chicago. You know, we're losing our national treasure, our children.
Yeah,
what shocked me the most in that interview was when you said to me that I had been the first person to even reach out and call you. That the mayor that said that this was a summer of love zone and, you know, a spaghetti potluck dinner zone and allowed these anarchists to take over these city blocks, including a police precinct, they never picked up a phone to call you. Nobody picked up a phone from the governor's office to call you. And then you said to me, it was, what, 6 days, nearly a week before you even had an opportunity to identify your 19-year-old son's body. Tell us about that. And Donald Trump was the first political figure in the country to call you.
Yeah, that was great, too. Man, I appreciate him, Donald Trump, great guy, because he didn't have to do that, but he took time out to do that. Basically, you know, everybody has written, you know, by now. You know, I have no kind of remorse with nobody, you know what I'm saying? So I just appreciate all the calls, you know what I'm saying? I've been getting letters across the world because of you, though, because of the Hannity Show. And I've got so many letters, so much, man, outspoken people. That has been the most important thing to me. And I just want to tell them I appreciate them all around the world, because it's more like my counseling, you know what I'm saying? It's helping me cope with my situation, because just like you say, you done been through this before. There's other people out there that's been through my situation, and they're kind of like reaching out to me and, you know, let me know, hey, you got to do like this. And, you know, it's one day at a time, you know, but it's been beautiful. It's just been incredible since the Hannity Show, man. Man, you're a great guy, man, and man, I appreciate your show.
I'm so sorry. No parent should have to live this way. And you know, this is now happening in cities all across the country. And I believe our children are America's national treasure. And the fact that we're not protecting them, there's no excuse for that. Forget about conservative, liberal, Republican, Democrat. This is about the number one responsibility of government: protect the people. They're not doing their fundamental job. Now, I know you saw this story today. This poor Seattle police chief, Carmen Best, she wanted to go in and do her job. They wouldn't allow her. And then a week ago, she has to tell business owners and residents, sorry, if there's another riot, I can't help you because they won't allow me to use the methods in which my officers are trained to restore order. And then she just resigned today.
Yeah, let me butt in.
This is Andre. This is Andre Taylor butting in, who, by the way, has become my phone buddy. We talk a lot.
Exactly. 100%. But let me just give the audience a little clarity on what's happening around the country since the George Floyd situation. And when Horace called me and asked me for my help when the CHOP situation was going on, and we went up to CHOP. And I felt like CHOP, Chaz, whatever, lost moral standing because it was started from the George Floyd killing. But when two young black teenagers died there from violence, CHOP never mentioned anything about them. So I felt like there's no way that I could stand for them trying to move forward in a position, yet you have not spoken to the incident of Horace's son being killed. And I had a real issue with that. And what I have found, Hannity, what's going on right now with activism right now, that there are two things that are going on right now. There is an activism of unity, which I use, and there is an activism of agitation. And that activism of agitation allows an environment of violence to transpire, right? And so right now there is a dual to see exactly which one of these two forms of activism play out. Right now, the activism of agitation is getting the more airplay because of violence that associated with it, but it's not sustainable. The only way you can bring sustainable change to our country, whether you're Republican, Democrat, whatever, the only way to bring sustainable change is by bringing all people together, black, white, brown, whatever, by bringing all people together under an understanding that we all together can shift as our great country has done many times before when we have come to these impasses. And it is unfortunate that Chief Best felt like because of the protests of agitation that they would strip the only black woman historic in the state of Washington to reduce her salary $100,000, it is above what I can ever express right now. So black lives don't matter for Chief Beth, and she's a black woman, and that is unconscionable to me.
The position they have put this police chief, Carmen Best, in is untenable. She cannot do her job if they refuse to allow her to do her job. And right. I do not blame, and I will tell you, if I ran any municipality around this country, I would hire her today because she's so good and cares that much about her community.
I like her. She called me. She gave me a call. I like her. I like her. Yeah. Great woman.
If you're just joining us, it's Kamala Harris. Well, I was right. We had our own poll going on here. Who did you think, Linda? I forgot who you thought it was going to be.
I thought it was going to be Susan Rice.
Yeah, you did. It's a sweet baby. Most everybody else thought that, too. I was here alone, standing my ground. I'm going to get into a record. But before we do any of that, let's just go back. And this was the Democratic primary debate. And this is Kamala beating the crap out of Joe Biden on the issue of race. Listen.
I'm going to now direct this at Vice President Biden. I do not believe you are a racist. And I agree with you when you commit yourself to the importance of finding common ground. But I also believe, and it's personal, and it was hurtful to hear you talk about the reputations of two United States senators who built their reputations and career on the segregation of race in this country. And it was not only that, but you also worked with them to oppose busing. And, you know, there was a little girl in California who was part of the second class to integrate her public schools. and she was bused to school every day. And that little girl was me.
It's a mischaracterization of my position across the board. I did not praise racists. That is not true, number one. Number two, if we want to have this campaign litigated on who supports civil rights and whether I did or not, I'm happy to do that. I was a public defender. I didn't become a prosecutor. I came out and I left a good law firm to become a public defender when in fact my city was in flames because of the assassination of Dr. King. The fact is that in terms of busing, you would have been able to go to school the same exact way because it was a local decision made by your city council. That's fine. That's one of the things I argued for, that we should be breaking down these lines.
Vice President Biden, do you agree today that you were wrong to oppose busing in America then?
No,
do you agree?
I did not oppose busing in America. What I opposed is busing ordered by the Department of Education. That's what I opposed.
Well,
I
there
did
was
not
a failure of states to integrate public schools in America. I was part of the second class to integrate Berkeley, California public schools almost two decades after Brown v. Board of Education.
Because your city council made that decision. It was a local decision.
So that's where the federal government must step in. That's why we have the Voting Rights Act and the Civil Rights Act. That's why we need to pass the Equality Act. That's why we need to pass the ERA. Because there are moments in history where states fail to preserve the civil rights of all people.
All right, that was during the debate. Now, I hate to say this, but it just is, you know, he went on, well, I never praise racist. Well, Robert Ku Klux Klan Bird, KKK Bird, as I refer to him, well, he did praise Robert Byrd as his mentor. And this is the guy. And we recently lost John Lewis. I told you about my history in Atlanta. And, you know, I got to know all these civil rights leaders. And they used to always come on my radio program. And I don't think they liked my politics, but we got along. Just nothing but respect for John Lewis. And his work and the nonviolent, you know, March of Selma, Montgomery, dogs and fire hoses. And he got hit in the head with a brick, it nearly killed him. It broke his skull. But he helped make this a more perfect union with the Civil Rights Act of 64 and the Voting Rights Act of 65. And the guy that he praised, along with Pelosi praised him, and Schumer praised him, and the Clintons praised him, Robert Byrd, was filibustering. And he joined with Robert Byrd as it relates to when the issue of segregation integration came up. He's the one that used the term racial jungle. That's Biden's words. Now you hear that attack. Well, how's that going to work out? As a matter of fact, he just got done saying in that debate, I didn't praise a racist. I'd say that, well, a guy that filibustered the Civil Rights Act of 64 would be right up there. You know, could you imagine if Donald Trump praised the guy that filibustered the 64 Civil Rights Act? What would the reaction would be? Or that talked about integration. I don't want my kids, you know, going to school, racial jungle. Anyway, here's his praise of Byrd. We happen to have the tape.
Although I and my colleagues behind me revere the Senate, Robert C. Byrd elevated the Senate. Well, if there was ever a senator who was the embodiment of his state, if there was ever a senator who, in fact, reflected his state, it was Robert C. Byrd. He was fiercely devoted, as you've all heard, to his principles. Even once he became power, he always spoke truth to power, standing up for the people he proudly was part of.
All right, that was him praising Byrd. Now we have Kamala Harris. Let me give you the short Kamala Harris list. Because the one thing I was saying before this announcement, I was very, very clear that it's going to continue along the lines, this hard left radical turn of Biden. Bolshevik Bernie's now plagiarizing his economic plan. It wasn't that long ago. Bernie was the outsider, the anomaly, the you know, they just put up with the crazy socialists that they would coalition with to get control of the Senate. They tolerated him. Now they embrace him. Now he's the economic czar. Now Biden's plagiarizing his economic socialist plans. Wow. I mean, that's pretty extreme. And he's pledging trillions for AOC's madness New Green Deal agenda. And by the way, it was 1975 that Biden supported the anti-busing amendment to a federal bill. NBC News says, quote, he led the charge on the issue that kept black students away from the classrooms of white students. He supported the anti-busing amendment of Senator Robert Byrd. In 1977, it was Biden worried that his children would grow up in a, quote, racial jungle. His words talking about integration of schools. You know, this is the guy that referred to inner city kids as predators that have got to be taken off the streets. His words, not my words. You know, then his other, you know, you ain't black more recently, or poor kids are just as smart as white kids. They're going to put you all back in chains. And I still can't get over his comments that he had made about Barack Obama. Think about it. I mean, you've got the first sort of mainstream, keyword first, sort of mainstream African-American who is articulate and bright and clean. Nice looking guy. That's storybook, man. What? You know, okay, that's a little, what is he talking about? Then you can't go to a 7-Eleven or Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent. I'm not joking, he said. You know, he touts his relationships with segregationist senators as examples of civility. Wow. Imagine if those were Donald Trump's positions, just for a minute. So here's what we know about Kamala Harris. This is the shortlist. We'll have extensive coverage of all of this tonight on Hannity. We have our town hall, by the way. We absolutely, you know, looking forward to you joining us. Guess we have a lot to talk to about. Linda's going to be interviewing me, and we're going to talk about, oh, it's free for everybody. Go to Hannity.com. The link only goes up at exactly 6:30 Eastern time, 3:30 Pacific time. You go click here, and we'd love to have you join us. Now, you know, what did I say before today? I said that whoever he picks and all the names we've heard, one thing will stay certain. That is that the most radical candidate of any of the major political parties in this country ever. I never thought they'd embrace openly socialism as their economic plan and plagiarize Bernie Sanders' economic agenda. They did. Or that he pledged, you know, trillions of taxpayer dollars for the new Green Deal. He did. Or amnesty, as he's promised. And you look at the whole thing. Now, Kamala Harris, one of the first Democrats to co-sponsor Bolshevik Bernie single-payer Medicare for all, that would cost, you know, what, the estimate was $52 trillion. New Green Deal, $94 trillion. And by the way, Kamala said she wanted to eliminate private insurance, even if individuals like their plan. Wow. Harris is a co-sponsor of the radical new Green New Deal. She voted against tax cuts and the Jobs Act. She voted against the bill that would limit abortions to the first 20 weeks of pregnancy. What? Even said that we should have a conversation about whether felons should vote from prison. She has far-left immigration policies, pretty much tantamount to Biden's amnesty, open borders, and the United Sanctuary States of America. Said she supports sanctuary cities in 2018. Said, quote, we need to probably start from scratch, referring to ICE. Out of touch, we have different issues involving her own personal career and personal enrichment, which kind of fits right in line with, by the way, with, you know, Joe Biden's radical views. We'll get to that, too. She was focused on playing politics, does not have a great record fighting crime as a prosecutor. San Francisco's homicide rates rose when she was the San Francisco DA. She inflated, according to reports, we'll give you all the background on all of this, the conviction rate by offering plea deals to defendants accused of serious crimes. And when cases went to trial, according to people that have followed her career, underperformed compared to other prosecutors. She's attempted to inflate the office's conviction rate to let murderers off the hook and did not have a tough-on-crime stance. And maybe that's why Willie Brown said this is a bad idea. Joining us for a quick reaction, we have at the Leo Terrell on Twitter, civil rights attorney, and we have Jamu Green, Fox News contributor, colleague of mine at Fox. Welcome, both of you. Leo, you know her well.
Oh, yes.
Your thoughts?
I'm so fired up. I made it very clear months ago. If she was a VP, I'm voting Trump. I'm voting for Trump automatically. I just got to go get my red hat and start wearing it every day. Because this woman is a socialist. You're dead on. She's adopted Bernie Sanders' socialist agenda regarding a single taxpayer plan for Medicare and all that universal. More importantly, she identified Joe Biden, which you pointed out, as a racist. There it is on tape. Her whole district attorney record as an AG is spotty. You need to play the Tulsi Gabbard debate section where she tore her apart. But what I'm saying to you is this. You have an extreme group of candidates, one as Biden as the president and one as Kamala Harris as the VP nominee, that has adopted the Bernie Sanders plan and is so far left, so far extreme, it makes it impossible for law and order Democrats to accept this ticket. That's why I'm telling you, a lot of Democrats are going to abandon their party and vote for Donald Trump, period.
Your initial reaction, Jamu Green?
Thanks for having me on, Sean. And I was so glad you played that clip, I think definitely in a different way than Leo, because I just started to think about the debate that she's going to have with Vice President Pence.
Why don't we deal with the substance of what she said? Because it sounded to me like she was pretty much calling Joe a racist.
She certainly was telling her story in a very strong, aggressive way, and in a way that I would say probably made him rethink some of his opinions of the past. And you know what? That's a great thing to have in a vice president. Someone as relentless as she.
Let me ask you a question. If Donald Trump praised the guy that had filibustered the Civil Rights Act of 64 and joined with that same individual to support an anti-busing amendment and then worried that his children would grow up if, in fact, school integration occurred in a racial jungle, what would you say about Donald Trump?
Well, Sean, we have evidence of President Trump praising through retweets.
I didn't ask you about Donald Trump. If Donald Trump supported the guy that filibustered the Civil Rights Act and referred to integration of schools as a racial jungle, what would you say to that?
It's not hypothetical. The president praises white.
I'm asking, Jamu, come on. I'm asking a direct question. We talk about Trump every day. You talk about Trump every day. I'm asking, what would you say if Donald Trump had said what Biden said?
Premises. It's reference.
What would you say if Jamu, if we're going to do an interview, you got to answer. What would you say if Donald Trump had referred to school integration as a racial jungle? What would you say?
The president praises racists.
Okay, I'm not asking about Donald Trump. I can ask you about Donald Trump another day. All that everyone wants to talk about. I'm asking you if he said that, what would
President Trump did it?
I think you're ducking. I think you're ducking the question. We'll take a quick break, though. And I got to tell you, it's pretty unbelievable.
Sean's new book, Live Free or Die, is now available. Feel free to grab your copy in stores and online everywhere. Live Free or Die.
All right, in bookstores everywhere. Don't forget our town hall, literally in a little less than 90 minutes from right now, Eastern Time, 3:30 Pacific Time. The link doesn't go up until 6:30 exactly. So you can join us. Just go to Hannity.com. You click on the join here button. You can do it on your phone. You can do it on your computer. You can do it on your iPad, your Mac, your whatever you have, whatever you use. Very simple to do wherever you are. Love to have you join us. We have a lot to talk about. Biden has now picked Kamala Harris as his vice presidential running mate. State of California does nothing for Joe Biden. That's an interesting choice. Now, the Trump campaign was obviously prepared because they just released this devastating ad.
Kamala Harris ran for president by rushing to the radical left, embracing Bernie's plan for socialized medicine, calling for trillions in new taxes, attacking Joe Biden for racist policies. Voters rejected Harris. They smartly spotted a phony. But not Joe Biden. He's not that smart. Biden calls himself a transition candidate. He is handing over the reins to Kamala while they jointly embrace the radical left. Slow Joe and phony Kamala. Perfect together. Wrong for America.
Slow Joe and phony Kamala. Wow. I said earlier in this program when it was announced that we might hear about the announcement today, I said, there's one thing I can guarantee you, that this will be the most radical ticket of a major party in our history. That ad is devastating, and it pretty much encompasses everything that you need to know. Now, one of the things I've been pointing out, this is the biggest choice election. When I decided a year ago that this was going to be a tipping point for the country, I didn't know it was going to be this radically extreme. And Joe Biden now, police, they become the enemy, as he said. And, of course, I'll reallocate funds or redistribute funds. Wow. That's the defund the police move, and they've been trying to do defense on that forever. You know, then adopting and even plagiarizing large parts of Bernie's economic plan. Bernie was once an outlier in the Democratic Party. He's now the mainstream. And Joe Biden's been so weak as a candidate, he needed to shore up Bernie Sanders' supporters. And the way he did it was to adopt his economic plan. He's the economic czar now for Joe Biden. He's pledging trillions in the Green New Deal. You know, Beto Bozo, you're damn right we're going to be coming for your guns. Wow. Okay. He's the gun czar. And you got Pelosi, Biden, and Schumer, 125 years of failure. Now we know he's picked one of the most radical senators in Washington. Kamala Harris has embraced these radical leftist socialist policies. She was one of the first Democrats to co-sponsor Bernie's single-payer Medicare for All program. Some estimates have that over $52 trillion. New Green Deal, again, Biden's pledging trillions of dollars to appease AOC, as Green New Deals are. Well, in the Senate, Harris was the co-sponsor of the radical Green New Deal. That cost estimate, $94 trillion. She voted against tax cuts and the Jobs Act, voted for billions in new taxes, pledged them when she was a candidate. Even wanted to eliminate private health insurance, even if individuals liked their plan. They're not even playing games anymore. They're just saying it. She was the co-sponsor of the Radical Green New Deal. She literally voted against the bill that would limit abortions. You know, even friends of mine in New York that say they, quote, are pro-choice, use their words. Okay. I don't know anybody that thinks, you know, beyond a, you know, 3 month period, the first trimester, that abortion, unless it's, you know, the life of the mother in jeopardy, or rape or incest, they wouldn't even consider it. You know, at that point, you know, we now can pick up a heartbeat after very short periods of time. After 20 weeks, she voted against the bill that would limit abortions the first 20 to the first week, 20 weeks. In other words, beyond that. She voted that we should have a conversation about whether felons should vote from prison. She supported the far left's immigration policies. By the way, Biden's policies, United Sanctuary States of America. And she wanted to have a conversation about whether felons should vote from prison. And Biden doubled down on those that didn't respect our laws, sovereignties, and borders, that they have a right to health care and everything else that every American has. Harris endorsed their far-left immigration policies, pretty much amnesty, open borders, just like Joe. She supported sanctuary cities, and she's from the sanctuary state of California. Oh, that says a lot. Said in 2018, we need to start thinking from scratch when referring to ICE. When you get to our political record, we'll get to that in detail, probably more tonight. By the way, the president of the United States will react exclusively tonight on Hannity. We just got confirmation. We know that, you know, she was more focused on playing politics and fighting crime. She has a lot of critics when she was a prosecutor, especially San Francisco's homicide rates rising when she was San Francisco's DA. I mean, do we get any more radical left than San Francisco? She inflated her office's conviction rate. We'll get into all the details of all this. But then, of course, 2004, high-profile case, she chose not to seek the death penalty against the gang member who killed the San Francisco police officer against the wishes of the officer's wife. She granted probation to, you know, this guy Broussard, who then went on to murder a San Francisco journalist, Chauncey Bailey and Odell Robertson Jr. You're going to hear more about these things. Chose not to seek the death penalty against an illegal immigrant MS-13 gang member who shot a father and two sons after making them mistaking them for a rival gang. When she was California's attorney general, one of her longtime staffers accused of sexually harassing a subordinate, which cost the state $400,000 in a settlement there. Harris, you know, tried to appear tough on crime. She fought to keep inmates locked up in overcrowded prison so they could be, you know, at that point. But again, it was all politics. Champion a law that would put parents of truant kids in jail and prosecuted a woman who had some mental issues that was shot by San Francisco police. You know, if somebody has mental illness, that there's a real illness. So that's just the beginning. You know, on she even talked about Biden and about his creepiness, that he actually believed the women. Yeah, I believe them, she said. I respect them for being able to tell their stories and have the courage to do it, she had gone on to say. And was even asked, you know, about whether you should go forward. Anyway, we got a lot to vet here. Now, I want to play again. This was during one of the debates. Now, we've laid out the history of Biden and race. And we know that Joe Biden praised his mentor, the former Klansman, that filibustered the Civil Rights Act of 1964. That's Robert KKK Byrd. Imagine if Donald Trump did. We know he joined with Robert Byrd and supported an anti-busing amendment, in other words, integration of schools. And he worried his own children would grow up in a, quote, racial jungle. Lied about marching in the civil rights protests. Lied about getting the support of the NAACP, famously, infamously saying, you know, referring to inner city youth as predators on our streets, must be taken off our streets. If we don't, a portion of them will become predators 15 years from now. He bragged that the liberal wing of the Democratic Party is now 60 new death penalty and 70. And you know, he's changed on everything. Poor kids are just as smart as white kids, he said. And he famously recently said, you ain't black and we'll put you all back in chains. And the comments about Barack Obama, I mean, the first sort of mainstream African-American, articulate, bright and clean and a nice looking guy. That storybook, man. Come on, man. Come on, man. You know, did you get tested for cocaine? Are you a junkie, man? He touts his, you know, relationship with all sorts of these crazy figures. This is Kamala Harris during one of the debates just tearing Joe Biden up. Listen.
I'm going to now direct this at Vice President Biden. I do not believe you are a racist. And I agree with you when you commit yourself to the importance of finding common ground. But I also believe, and it's personal, and it was hurtful to hear you talk about the reputations of two United States senators who built their reputations and career on the segregation of race in this country. And it was not only that, but you also worked with them to oppose busing. And, you know, there was a little girl in California who was part of the second class to integrate her public schools. And she was bused to school every day. And that little girl was me.
It's a mischaracterization of my position across the board. I did not praise racist. That is not true. Number one. Number two, if we want to have this campaign litigated on who supports civil rights and whether I did or not, I'm happy to do that. I was a public defender. I didn't become a prosecutor. I came out and I left a good law firm to become a public defender when in fact my city was in flames because of the assassination of Dr. King. The fact is that in terms of busing,
The busing, you would have been able to go to school the same exact way because it was a local decision made by your city council. That's fine. That's one of the things I argued for, that we should be breaking down these lines.
Vice President Biden, do you agree today that you were wrong to oppose busing in America then?
No,
do you agree?
I did not oppose busing in America. What I opposed is busing ordered by the Department of Education. That's what I opposed.
Well,
I
there
did
was
not
a failure of states to integrate public schools in America. I was part of the second class to integrate Berkeley, California public schools almost two decades after Brown v. Board of Education.
Because your city council made that decision. It was a
local
decision.
So that's where the federal government must step in. That's why we have the Voting Rights Act and the Civil Rights Act. That's why we need to pass the Equality Act. That's why we need to pass the ERA, because there are moments in history where states fail to preserve the civil rights of all people.
Wow. And now Kamala's his VP candidate. Now I'm sure they're going to write up the talking points. They've anticipated, well, you're going to have to explain this, or her comment that, oh, I believe, and I believe the women that think that he's creepy. That's pretty much what she was referring to. And I respect them for being able to tell their story and having the courage to do it, she went on to say. Now, that little girl was me. And the fact of the matter is, he did praise Robert KKK Byrd. And we played that tape for you. All right, when we come back, Leo Terrell, our friend Ron Christie, they're going to weigh in. 800-941-SEAN, you want to be a part of the program. The big takeaway is now they have quadrupled down on radical socialist leftism. The most radical ticket ever in the history of this country, of a major political party. The most radical out of the mainstream views of any major political party in history. Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, at the Leo Terrell on Twitter. Ron Christie, our good friend, joins us. Ron, your reaction.
Good to talk to you, Sean. Congratulations on the book.
Thank you,
My
sir.
My reaction, what a cynical choice this is. If you're looking at the vice presidential candidate, I started in the Bush administration working for Vice President Cheney. And what does that job entail? It entails being able to step into being the president of the United States if something happens to the president. She's not ready. The New York Times is out within the last hour saying that she's a pragmatic moderate. She's not a pragmatic moderate. She's a hard-left socialist who did so much to destroy my home state of California that the thought of her being a heartbeat away from the presidency is frightening and should inspire a lot of people listening to your show to register and to get out and vote and to stop this.
Well, there's only way, and we're going to hold you guys through the half-hour break and the news at the bottom of the hour. Leo, this has you apoplectic. You're angry. You know her.
Oh, I'm very furious. I know her personally. I live in California. I've been an attorney in this state for 30 years. But let me tell you right now, let's be honest, the elephant in the room, she was not selected on qualifications. She was selected based on her race and her gender. And let me tell you right now, she has no value. She adopted the extremist left value because she thought that was a winning formula. She has no principles, no values, no morals. That's socialized medicine, taking away people's insurance that they like, and that lawyer trick when she said, we need to have a conversation about felons having the right to vote. That's a lawyer's trick. This woman cannot be trusted, and especially cannot be a heartbeat away
I got to take a break.
The White House.
President Trump exclusively responds and reacts tonight on Hannity. Our town hall, 6:30 Eastern, Hannity.com. Open to everybody, free and fun, and a lot to talk about. And America and the world on the brink. 25 to the top of the hour. We are 55 minutes away now from our town hall. Everybody's invited. Boy, do we have a lot to talk about. Just go to Hannity.com. You click on the Join Here button. We'll put the link up exactly at 6:30. Linda's going to be interviewing yours truly, which is really a career risk.
You know, I think you should poll your guests, because I think your guests would say that you're just so lucky that I'm going to do this.
For those just getting in their car, maybe been busy at work so you can pay your taxes and save a little money for a nice house in a safe neighborhood, get the hell out of a liberal city like New York or Chicago or Seattle or Portland or L.A. or San Francisco. Kamala Harris is now the selection of Joe Biden. He's chosen her to be his running mate. This then officially cements in what is now the most radical ticket, well, the running on the most radical platform out of the mainstream platform of any modern political, major political party in history. I mean, look at these views. I mean, she was one of the first Democrats co-sponsoring Bernie Sanders' single-payer Medicare for All. What's the estimates? $50 trillion there. She wanted to eliminate, get this, private health insurance, even if individuals like their plan. So much for pro-choice. Harris co-sponsor, Radical Green New Deal, voted against Tax Cuts and Jobs Act and supported billions in new taxes. This is the radical left, supported, voted against the bill that would limit abortion to the first 20 weeks. Okay, that's 5 months. You want to go beyond 5 months? Medical science and technology is now, what, taking us to the point where, you know, we're able to save fetuses that at younger and younger ages. That gets into the whole, you know, what do we have, Governor, what's his name, the guy from the Commonwealth of Virginia, that idiot North, Northam. Well, first we'll deliver the baby, and then we'll make sure the baby's comfortable, and then we'll let the mother decide whether to offer medical attention and care for the baby. That's a human life at that point. She even wanted to have a conversation about whether felons should vote from prison. Far left views matching Biden's on immigration, open borders, amnesty, supported sanctuary cities from the sanctuary state of California, wanted to scratch and start from scratch as it relates to ICE, out of touch in so many different ways, a horrific record. I won't go into a whole record on in terms of when she was a prosecutor out in California or some of the controversial decisions. We'll save that for the days and weeks ahead. Now the town hall will start in, well, just 48 minutes from right now at 6:30, Hannity.com. We hope you can join us. Going to be pretty excited about that. And all you have to do is go to Hannity.com. The link goes up exactly 6:30 Eastern, 3:30 Pacific. Linda will do the questioning. We'll take some of your questions as well. Don't forget Amazon.com, 40% off, Live Free or Die, America and the World on the Brink. When I started that book over a year ago, came up with the idea, came up with the chapters, working title was always Live Free or America Dies. I had no idea that as radical as this cast of characters, these candidates for the Democratic nomination were, that they'd go this hard left. Police are the enemy. Of course, we'll redistribute funds away from the police. They can't even guarantee safety, security, law and order. These are the same Democrats now that are vowing to raise your taxes, vowing amnesty and open borders in the United Sanctuary States of America. The same people pushing for to stack the Supreme Court. The same people supporting and trying to get rid of the Electoral College. The same people that have bought into this new Green Deal madness that would eliminate oil, gas, and coal, the lifeblood of the world's economy. The biggest tipping point choice election you could ever want. You couldn't have a more clear choice here. In terms of what is at stake for this country, freedom, liberty, capitalism, that has created a wealth and standard of living, the envy of the world, which is why people want to come into the country illegally. Socialism in every form that it's been tried, any name it's been given, always ends in the same thing, misery, poverty, and a loss of freedom, and sometimes worse, because that's what they're running on. Bolshevik Bernie is the economic czar. AOC, the Green New Deal czar. You got Beto Bozo is now the gun czar. Pelosi, Schumer, and Biden, what have they done in 125 years combined swamp experience? Not a whole lot. Anyway, we continue with Ron Christie and at the Leo Terrell on Twitter. Leo, I kind of cut you off a little bit. Didn't mean to.
Oh, no problem, Sean. Look, she's only one heartbeat away. She doesn't have any values or in principle. Let's also forget that she and Cory Booker derail President Trump and Tim Scott's effort to get police reform because they killed it. Why? Because they didn't want Trump to get any credit for any type of reforming of the police department in light of the George Floyd situation. This woman is a unqualified candidate. She was only selected because of her race and color, and that letter that was written by 100 black men who do not represent myself or Ron intimidated Joe Biden. Why? Because Joe Biden, over the last 2 weeks, have made gaffes and gaffes and gaffes about black Americans being one set of people and the fact that if you don't vote for me, you ain't black. That's why he capitulated and voted for an unqualified person as VP.
Ron Christie, we thought Mondale was radical. You and I go back a long way. Hillary was extreme. We thought Obama was extreme. This is the most extreme ticket. I never thought that socialism, radicalism, Bernie Sanders, Bolshevik Bernie's radical views would be on the ballot in this country. And this is where we find ourselves. You want to know why I called the book Live Free or Die, America and the World on the Brink? Because if we adopt these stated proposals, it will destroy this country. And it's irreparable harm. This will no longer be a society governed by freedom, liberty, capitalism, risk, reward, innovation. That will be destroyed as it has been destroyed all throughout the ash heap of history.
Well, Sean, you and I have been friends for many, many years, and I look at so many elections, and you and I have said, oh, this is the most important election in our lifetime because X person, and put in Bernie or Bozo or whoever. But this pick by Kamala Harris, I am really disappointed on several levels. Leo just said, as black lawyers, he and I sit here and look at this and think, if we had put out a want ad and said, if you're white or if you're male, you need not apply. The Biden administration went out and picked someone based on their gender, based on their ethnicity, just to tick off a box for the radical left. But I look back. I grew up in Palo Alto, California. My dad was very, very close with Kamala's dad. And I look back to my childhood, and I look back to the campaign. And in 2019, when she was laughing about smoking pot, and yet she was a prosecutor and wanting to put people away, her own dad said, my grandmothers and my parents would be rolling in their graves based on her craven manner in which she describes people of Jamaican descent. If you can't get your own dad to endorse you for president, that speaks a lot about her character.
Wow. Now, by the way, President Trump exclusively on Hannity tonight. Don't forget, in 46 minutes from now, Hannity.com, the link goes up exactly at 6:30, a 2020 special town hall. Linda will be the moderator. I will be answering your questions, her questions. We'll do it for a full hour, but then I got to prepare for TV and the president tonight. But I hope you can join us. Go to Hannity.com. You click on it. The link goes up at 6:30. I guess now the question is about Kamala. Well, what does she add to the ticket? Because I don't see anything. California's already in the win column for the Democrats. That's why I always remind people, if you want to win and you're a Republican, Leo, you got to win Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, Ohio, the Buckeye State. You got to win Arizona. You got to put in play Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, hopefully Minnesota, and then fight for Nevada. And you got to fight for New Mexico, New Hampshire. You got to win Iowa. You got to go for the congressional district number 2 in Maine, because, again, that electoral vote could make all the difference.
I'll tell you, Sean, she has nothing, because let me tell you this. You're right. California's already in the Democratic column. And Biden outpolled her anyway among blacks. So she's not even a person who's going to bring more blacks to the polls. Biden outpolled her. She couldn't get any black votes because even black voters are suspicious of Kamala Harris. She has no value. But I think of all the things you listed, a litany of things that prove that she is a socialist. But one that really concerns me is that she has no problem taking away private insurance of people who like their health insurance. That's
what happened to freedom of choice?
Yes. That's the part, to me, is going to be a big one. The president should really drive that home. Why does she want to take away someone's insurance who like it? It makes no sense. It's illogical. It's un-American. It's socialist. It's borderline communism.
All right. Let's play. Now, this for Joe Biden. Now, remember, they Democrats and mob in the media, they raised the age question. And, Ron, you know well because you were there with Reagan in 84. But if Biden were to assume office, he would be older than when Reagan finished his second term. You know, and this is just the latest debacle. And remember, he's not even running a full campaign. He's running a little baby campaign, baby step campaign. Pops his head out an hour or two. Anyway, here is what, here's the latest meltdown.
But please clarify specifically, have you taken a cognitive
test? No, I haven't taken a test. Why the hell would I take a test? Come on, man. That's like saying you, before you got in this program, if you take a test where you're taking cocaine or not, what do you think, huh? Are you a junkie?
What do you say to President Trump, who brags about his test and makes your mental state an issue for voters?
Well, if he can't figure out the difference between an elephant and a lion, I don't know what the hell he's talking about. Did you watch that? Look, come on, man. I know you're trying to goad me, but I mean, I'm so forward-looking to have an opportunity to sit with the president or stand with the president in debates. There's going to be plenty of time. And by the way, as I joke with him, you know, I shouldn't say it. I'm going to say something I probably shouldn't say. Anyway, I am very willing to let the American public judge my physical and mental fitness. And to make a judgment about who I am.
Okay. Now, by the way, just got to break this down. First of all, he said earlier, oh, yeah, I've taken a cognitive test. I get tested all the time, he said. Now he contradicts that. Come on, you get a test for cocaine? Are you a junkie? Come on, man. You know, the elephant and the lion. What the hell is he talking about, elephant and a lion? I look forward to the debates. Well, if Joe looks forward to the debates, well, let's debate before any voting happens, which before the first debate would be 16 states with early voting. By the way, our electoral map on Hannity.com. Then he digresses and says, looking forward to debating Donald Trump. Okay. And then he says, you know, and I'm up for American people who look into my... I'm not saying he's stuttering. I'm saying he forgot the word fitness, just like he forgot the words, we hold these truths to be self-evident. That all men and women endowed by, you know, the thing being God, the creator of everything. So now the VP choice matters here, Leo Terrell.
The VP choice matters because she'll be doing the public speaking. Joe's going to hide in his basement. He's going to totally hide in the basement, and she's going to be out there campaigning on his behalf. The mere fact that he has these two go-to lines, come on, man, and I don't want to go that far, that tells you something. He doesn't have the ability to complete a full paragraph. He has short, choppy sentences. This man is not all there, Sean. He's not all there. It's quite evident. We all see it.
Yeah. Last word, Ron Christie.
Well, look, having worked for the vice president and the president of the United States, I can tell you it is a mentally grueling job. It is a job that you never get a break. There's no time off. There's no weekend. And for a presidential candidate who lives in the basement, picking a vice presidential candidate who could succeed him quite possibly before he leaves office on his own volition, this is a very, very strategic time for Americans to take stock of where we are going as a country and say, is this the direction of a Biden-Harris ticket that we want the country to go for what they will bring in for our politics and our social discourse?
All right, don't forget, it's literally 34 minutes from right now, Hannity.com, exactly 6:30 Eastern, 3:30 Pacific. We get up with our 2020 virtual town hall. It's free. Everybody can join. Just you can use your phone, your iPad, your computer, whatever you have. Also, we need to remind you, Donald Trump will join us exclusively tonight on Hannity. Tomorrow night, Vice President Pence will join us on Hannity. So we got a lot of great shows coming. Anyway, we'll see you at 6:30 Eastern sharp. The link goes up exactly at 6:30. Don't forget Amazon.com, live free or die, 40% off. And President Donald Trump reacts to Kamala Harris, 9 Eastern tonight on the Fox News Channel. Thanks for being with us. See you in 33 minutes.